Welcome back to Brain Biohacking with your host, Kayla Barnes. We dive into all things optimal health, optimal brain health, nutrition, peak performance, cognitive excellence, biohacking, longevity, and so much more.
So if you kind of imagine this, you're sitting there in a zero gravity bed, and instead of having to do like, you know, four or five different things like you and I would typically do, we go to our red light, we go do our meditation, and we might do like an NOV or whatever and get the molecular hydrogen, and they're all separate and that takes a lot of time. You're getting this stuff all at once.
All right, guys. So welcome back to the Brain Biohacking Podcast. Today, I have a really exciting guest because not only are we really good friends, but we also work together at LIV. So for those of you that don't know, I am a co-owner in a longevity precision medicine clinic called LIV with my partner, Bobby. And today we are going to be speaking with our medical director, Dr. Stitch. And we're also going to get into all the incredible things he's doing in medicine. And before I bring you on, Dr. Stitch, I just have to say, you know, there's something about being an incredible doctor and also being a very forward thinker, but it's also equally as important when you're a really good human being. And that is what, you know, one of my favorite things about you is, and there are so many amazing things that we're going to dive into today, but thank you for being a great friend, amazing human, and sharing what we'll talk about today in terms of this innovative boundary pushing medicine.
Oh, thanks, Kayla. Well, the feeling is totally mutual. I think there's this law of attraction that happens as we go through life, we find like-minded people and we get to do fun, cool things together. So it's right back at you.
Well, thank you. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. So you're a traditionally trained ER doc. What got you into medicine? You call yourself a reformed ER doc, right? So let's talk about that. How did you start? And then what was your reforming process?
Yeah, I do. I kind of joke about that. So my training, my allopathic training is in emergency medicine. And it was cool. Like I loved emergency medicine. I actually started in something called triple board. I did a year of that. And I was like, yeah, I made a mistake. I liked the spontaneity of the emergency room. So in the ER, for those of you who don't know, you're like basically just sitting there waiting for emergencies to happen, which is kind of a sick thing and twisted thing to do for people, but it's kind of fun because you get to dive into these things. And I like to think of it as one of the last places in medicine where you really still use the intuition, still use the, that kind of gestalt. It's not as protocol driven. It's changing. That's changing, actually, even in the emergencies, which is kind of odd. But that's what really drew me to it. And I loved the resuscitations. I love those like high stakes scenarios. But really quickly, one makes the realization that while it's fun and while you see people get, you know, better, like it actually didn't accomplish what I wanted to do in medicine at all, which was help people to heal themselves, which I believe is an inherent right. It's part of who we are and we have that ability. And in that system, like people just kind of churn through it. You see the same people just kind of circling and circling and circling. Yeah. So that was the background.
Yeah. That's a really great point. I mean, I can only imagine, and I have a few other friends that were in the ER and even some of the nurses here, you know, it's kind of a sad situation or state of affairs when you see the same people and you probably in your mind have so many tools that could actually help them get better, but it's not really part of the standard of care, of course, in the emergency room or unfortunately pretty widely in, you know, allopathic or traditional medicine. So you were in the ER and then you got into some really, really incredible stuff like very innovative with genetics and custom precision medicine with a lot of these like high performers, people wanting to do really well and optimize their biology. So how did you go from the ER over to what you were doing at your last company?
Yeah. It's like a bunch of stepping stones. So, a little bit disenfranchised in the emergency room, a friend came to me and was like, hey, we should try this other model. And he brought me this thing called direct care or direct primary care, which is basically like you remove the insurance. It was a membership-based model. So we started a couple of those clinics, and it was cool because people would get care much more efficiently. You didn't have a lot of the middleman, and you just eliminate, like, 30 to 35% of the work with processing and filling out forms, and you're just focused on the medicine. That said, it still was sick care. You still are reactive. So the next logical step, being somewhat entrepreneurial and somewhat dissatisfied, was I looked at it. What is the frontier of medicine? Oh, aha, genetics. Genetics is where to go. So co-founded Wild Health with a couple friends. And in Wild Health, what we were doing was taking people's lifestyle, their genetics, and their biomarkers, and we would smash them together to create these kind of huge plans and reports. And then we would take them through the process with a health coach. So the idea would be, Kayla, let's say it's you and me, and we would basically collect the DNA, collect all this huge panel of biomarkers that you and I do. Actually, we do a more extensive version of that, but similar to what you and I do in our space. And we would then look at all that information and say, okay, cool, you're naturally pretty good at methylating. You're naturally very good at digesting and metabolizing saturated fats. So it might make sense for you to do like a high fat or a keto style diet and give those kind of recommendations.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. And that is exactly what we're doing, you and I are doing, Live as a whole is doing at this point. Just really trying to drill deep into the actual information, the biological data, and then create a very custom bio-individual plan. So that's amazing. And, we're so happy that you have that experience because now we're implementing it here. So what was the kind of spark? I know you have some personal stories. So you were doing all of this, like lots of data driven, right? But now you're kind of moving into this new field, and we're going to talk about what bioenergetics is. But how did you start to move towards that direction?
So bioenergetics is essentially the information and energies that drive the operating system. And it led me into the practice of what I would call integrative medicine. And the journey was an interesting one. So I had two different, like, parallel path revelations. One was simply looking at all this data. We had super compliant patients, we had tons and tons of data. And you would start to see these patterns where the same type of genetic profile and the same type of adherence to the plan would yield radically different results. So that's one aspect that I'm staring at this and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. My education, my teaching is like, if that person has the same genetic profile and we give that device, then we should expect the outcome. A plus B equals C. That's how I was taught. You'd look at those people's lives and realize like there was a lot of emotional and stress that really kind of drove the epigenetics. So then two, the second piece of that was there were about three different health stories, three different health crises in my family that led me to think, there's probably something more that I am not seeing. Because one, like I just said, the math doesn't add up. We would do all these the right things and we would still wind up with radically different outcomes. And then these three health stories, so there's myself, there's one of my daughters, and there's another daughter. I'll talk about the more dramatic one. I have a daughter who's got spina bifida. And at the time, we started taking her to a bunch of different practitioners. Some were gurus, some were crazy, some were really smart, some were really, really forward thinking. And I had one experience where somebody did what's called meridian regulatory acupuncture. It's essentially like a direct current version of acupuncture based on quantum physics. So it's something I trained in. It's something I actually went and did a fellowship in. It's really cool. The point though is not what that is, because that was just another stepping stone, it turns out. What happened with him was this connection that he made bypassed part of my daughter's nervous system. So when you have spina bifida, the background here is you're essentially born with a hole in your spine. There's different degrees of it. And because she was born in Russia and adopted, she actually spent about 3 days with part of that spinal cord exposed and just knocked out that cord, right? So she's basically walking around, super functional, super active. She loves like kind of sharing and inspiring her, other people with her story. But there was part of the spinal cord that just simply wasn't connected. So what this doctor did was he started using meridian points and quantum physics and intention to create a bypass around those defects. So imagine you have a connection, there's a broken piece in that connection, and then there's the rest of the spinal cord. And what we saw was we saw these nerves firing that had never fired before, and her leg circumference improved by about 30%. And she was able to walk around without braces for a while, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing.
It is, but it challenged your thinking, you know, because here I'm allopathically trained. Allopathic essentially comes down to symptom management, and it's all about processing and categorizing things and matching them with the right treatment. And yet I'm seeing this guy who does acupuncture as an MD using microcurrent, creating a bypass, and nothing that I had seen in my training could explain it. So it sent me on this goose chase.
Well, I'm super happy, of course, that you got into this and identified this, because it seemed to then like open up an entirely new world. So what is the background, you know, on bioenergetics? And I can't wait to talk about my experience with some of the devices, but where did it start? Is there a lot of research on this? How long does it kind of go back? How far does it go back? Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, technically it goes back thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So bioenergetics is essentially like looking at the map of the energies and the data, again, that drives the human operating system. So there's a lot of information and research from like traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda that actually pull in to this field. And I sort of think of integrative medicine as a whole as the combination of Eastern and Western medicine with this backbone of physics. So most of medicine, as I was taught, was based off of a biochemical model that essentially is like a billiard ball type of thing. So you've got chemical A bumps into chemical B, they exchange something, and that can create chemical C, and you go down these chains. But life is just too fast for that to explain physiology. And when we start to look at our bodies from a physics perspective, we realize there's a whole bunch of things happening. Yes, there's biochemical stuff that happens, there's biochemical signaling, but there's also like electrical fields and biofields and actually tons of different types of fields like sound and light even that affect the human body. And all of a sudden, when you put these things together, you start creating a backbone. And some of the research, you know, are stuff that you and I do, Kayla, so we're both kind of biohackers. We both love to experiment on ourselves. So when we do stuff like cold plunges and heat therapy, or alternating those things, like I got to do last night, or getting in an infrared sauna or near infrared sauna, like we are absorbing those wavelengths of energy using what's called photobiomodulation. So all that stuff is actually bioenergetic information. It's waves that hit our body field and essentially help us to exchange electrons more efficiently.
Amazing. So I love that, because you made it really quite simple, because it seems like a really big word that's really complex. And I think some people might think, how does this fit into medicine? But when you align it with things that people are probably already doing that are listening to this podcast, things like red light therapy, cold therapy, PEMF, let's dive deeper into that. So the basis of what I understand about PEMF is I always call our current PEMF machine like grounding on steroids. So I don't know if that's an accurate kind of explanation, but talk to us about that technology in general, like kind of where it started, where do you think it's going, and how can it be applied? Because when I was at Da Vinci with a friend of yours in the bioenergetics world, he actually wasn't there, but he did a presentation on PEMF. And we've always known that we loved it because we've seen a lot of good results, but then they were going deep into, you know, these like non-healing diabetic wounds and healing after years. So the power is certainly seems to be there. And then your device. So just to break it down. So Dr. Stitch is our medical director, but then you're also the medical director for Amortal, and you're, this is your company as well. And if anyone has watched my stories over the weekend, we had the Amortal here at Live, and my partner Bobby is an investor, and I'm along with that as well in Amortal. So we're going to have the device, but we're going to break down the technology as well. So one of the big technologies with the Amortal and the Catalyst is PEMF, which we would define as a subset of bioenergetic medicine, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And technically, it's actually pulsed electric fields, but we'll go into that, that differentiation and how it works totally.
Okay, yeah. So talk to us about that. I think a lot of people are familiar with PEMF, but not really sure.
Totally, totally. So I will explain this as simply as I can, because there's a whole bunch of different theories about how this works. So essentially, when our body encounters disease, what happens is that we create oxidative stress. Oxidation equals the transfer, the donation of electrons. So when oxidative stress happens, our body is giving up energy in the form of electrons. Okay, that makes sense. That is the classic biochemical model. Everybody knows that. There's no argument about that whatsoever. And that's been based off of, you know, about 150 years of biochemical based biology. What changed, you know, in the 1920s to 1940s was physics came onto the scene, and we started realizing that the body is actually more than that. There's an energetic field. In fact, everything bases down to energy, E equals MC squared. In fact, says that energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. So mass, anything that has solidity, as we call it, is actually energy that's just condensed. And that explains like things like PEMF and PEF. So essentially, these are big pulsed waves. And for those who are just listening, you can't see my hand, but it's kind of going up and down in the sine wave pattern, like a wave on the ocean. And what happens when our body is exposed to that is we also create that kind of electricity. Like our whole nervous system runs on electricity. It's an analog system that looks like a wave if you were to graph it. So it took me a really long time. I mean, this seems like a simple concept, but it took me years to wrap my head around what the frick is happening. Because I bought a MagnaWave. I used that and I sat on it. I felt good. My deep sleep improved a little bit. It kind of tailed off after a little while. And I was like, well, I stopped using it and I started again. You got to get your feet wet and experience it. And I finally realized like what's happening are these two fields are talking to each other. Essentially, the electric field that is my body. And in this case, it was a PEMF mat, which is it's a pretty big magnetic wave. When you study our cells, they're actually really small magnetic waves. And the actual measurement is probably closer to like, I can't remember the exact measurement. It's like in the microtesla range. It's really small. So hitting the body with a big magnetic wave, as you've probably experienced, when you're doing PEMF, it's like, you're getting jolted around.
Yes.
And we absorb probably a small amount of that, because when the body is exposed to these extreme forces, it's adaptive, it's dynamic, and it absorbs what it can, but it starts to shut off the things it can't. So you get this big magnetic wave and your body's got these little waves. You're probably only absorbing a small piece of that. It's still beneficial, but there's a lot of wasted energy in that system.
Absolutely. Sense? Yes. No, it does. And so, because I think many more people are familiar with grounding. So when you're grounding, are you also getting the really big waves? And then what's the difference? I've heard you actually talk about this on Ben Greenfield's podcast, the difference of almost like a circular wave versus a square wave.
Yeah. 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 So yes, grounding is exchanging electrons with the earth, essentially, like quite literally grounding. It's a slow process. People think like, I'm immediately grounded. Well, that would be true if there were no such thing as resistance. But there is resistance, and there are different fields. So this concept of like, as soon as I touch the ground, I'm grounded. No, not quite. It's not how it actually works. And then the types of waves, as you're alluding to, are super important. right? Our body is an analog system, like it's big sine waves. And there's all sorts of talk about like using different waves, using like square waves, which are mostly digital. To use a computer analogy, a digital signal is like a one or a zero. And an analog is like a full spectrum. Another way of thinking of this, like, this is kind of a poor example, but the difference between like listening to a concert live in a really nice amphitheater versus listening to an MP3 where that data is truncated, you cut off like the tops and the bottoms of it and just get the gist of it. Like, it's a very different experience. You can hear the symphony, you can feel the violin, you can feel the flute, you know, you can feel all these things. With the MP3, you still get the sound, it's still nice, but it's a different experience. So the type of data, this boils down to the simple concept, the type of data that the body is exposed to matters. Digital is like a truncated version, it works. A more complete way to speak the same language as our human body is to speak the same language. So if I'm going to do that, let's get back to the PEMF concept here, or in our case, PEF concept here. If I'm going to speak to the body and I'm going to use energy to do that, what I want to do is I want to find a common language. That is, what do my tissues and what do my cells use to talk to each other? And as we alluded to before, it's a stronger electromagnetic field, plus some other fields like photons and stuff like that, and a pretty small magnetic wave. So we, in this company, what we did was we kind of flipped that on its head. We said, okay, instead of giving these big pulsed magnetic waves that kind of jolt you, and there's some wasted energy, we kind of searched high and low, looked at old patents and kind of redesigned some stuff to create a bigger electric field or a bigger potential, and then a smaller magnetic field that kind of mimics the body. So you're essentially like exposing, you hold on to this vacuum tube and you put your feet on this plate, and you're essentially exposing your body to similar fields that it would be exposed to in nature. And the other piece of that was we just found a range of frequencies, what we call a multiform wave, which is essentially a huge range, tiny doses of many, many, many frequencies. And we let the body then choose what it needs. Make sense? So same language, mimic nature, rather than try to like ascribe certain things that we think the body wants. We just kind of give it everything that it would naturally be exposed to.
Absolutely. No, it does make a lot of sense. One quick sidebar about grounding, because I've had this concern that now that they're running all of these electrical like wiring through the ground for like light posts and things like that, do you think that is like basically messing with the grounding benefit that we get from making contact with the earth?
Yeah, probably, but probably a tiny bit. This is such a huge concept. There are so many things that go into grounding, from like the earth's changing magnetic fields. I don't want to go too deep, but like there's evidence that the earth's magnetic fields actually like change position. It just, I think it was like 6 months ago, quantum scientists or quantum physicists were explaining that the earth's magnetic spin is actually changing. So there's all sorts of really, really interesting evidence that suggests there's probably more here than we understand that has to do with like rotation and axis to the sun and occasional shifts in polarity. And actually like look at lava. There's things called iron filings in lava. Mm-hmm. And they will actually line up to different places. And geographers can use that to pinpoint where the magnetic pole was at that given time when the lava was flowing. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's super cool. Okay, so now we have a basis of how this works. And then PEMF versus PEF, what's the difference?
Yeah, so PEMF, in my opinion, the way that I understand this, it's a bigger magnetic wave. And PEF is a smaller magnetic wave, mostly electric. In a very, very technical specification here, because there's probably going to be folks who are like, that's not correct. There's really, everything is actually PEMF. There's no such thing as an electric wave without a magnetic wave, or a magnetic wave without an electric wave. But you can switch the ratios on those. And that's kind of what we get into when we're talking about the difference between these. And if you and I have experienced this, the pulsed electric field therapy is smooth and you feel kind of the static field. Whereas the pulsed electromagnetic field, it's kind of like jolty, but you don't necessarily feel that electric field, or it's very, very small. Like if I came by and touched you while you were on a PEMF mat, I might get a tiny static shock. If you do it while you're on a pulsed electric field device, you'll get a static shock that's like rubbing your feet on the carpet. You know, you'll feel it.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk about what, so you, now we understand the basis. So what is happening when those cells, you've given a great analogy about, or an explanation of cells having these measurable frequency levels. And we think of PEMF as like a cellular battery charger kind of. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about your theory on kind of A, this cellular energy, and B, how it can kind of relate to health or chronic disease, things of that nature?
Oh, totally. Thanks for asking, because this is a fun topic. The body is essentially a battery. So go back to even the biochemical model, like oxidative stress, all those things essentially say that we're donating electrons, giving up energy, right? So the body has to replenish that. And when we kind of reach a point that we're at equilibrium, that's homeostasis, that's we're able to maintain function. Once you pass that point, you've charged the battery. And that's when healing starts to occur. So if you think of this as a continuum, our job in life, our job for at least the body, is to restore the voltage, restore enough energy that it drives the reactions. And it's much like a battery. In fact, you can measure voltage on cells. You can string those cells together. Then you have tissues. You can string those tissues together, and then you have organs, and then you can string the organs together. Then you have systems. And when you stick that together, you have the body. So you can kind of see how this is like a series of batteries, some of which operate in parallel and some of which operate in series, right? But that's how we work. So when you're getting these technologies, be that photobiomodulation with light, PEF, PEMF, even sound like acoustic, vibroacoustics, all these things are bathing the body with different forms of energy that our cells, mainly through the mitochondria, are taking and using to efficiently create electrons or replenish electrons more appropriately.
And it makes sense. Oh, I was just going to say it makes sense because we have so much less of this in our day-to-day life. I mean, our ancestors used to constantly be connected, right? They were sleeping on the ground or maybe sleeping on like a skin of some sort and still having that direct connection. And they were waking up with the sun and going to bed with the sun. And now it's just, I love the blend of, you know, modern science, ancestral wisdom. And I just think it makes so much sense to me. And that's why I love the PEMF. It's like one of my favorite things. I always think of it as like charging my cells. And then you've really like ignited my passion for this. So really, really amazing. But how do they measure the frequencies? Because if it's measurable, talk about that. And then again, how it correlates to disease states potentially.
The frequencies or the voltage?
Both. And what is a healthy cell supposed to look like in terms of frequency and voltage? And then what is an unhealthy cell look like?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways to measure frequency. You can use like oscilloscopes. You can use little devices that actually measure spin. So one of our partners, you know, we're launching that new service with the basically infused water. You can measure spin. You can kind of see the effects on that. There's all sorts of ways to measure frequency. The frequency and that spectrum and how it affects those cells, the particles, even at that level. The voltage is a little bit different. So the voltage, you can put little probes within a cell and you can measure that voltage. You can measure the inside and the outside. So it's a little bit of cellular anatomy. A cell is essentially a membrane with a bunch of organs. We call those organelles in it. And then at the center is the nucleus. The surface of that cell contains all sorts of proteins and channels and cholesterol particles. And it's essentially communicating with its neighbors, letting ions in and out, storing much like a battery. Like, you know, we think about like a lithium ion battery, right, that we have in our phones. Okay. Those are ions and they get charged. And that potential difference between one side of the battery and the other side creates a current. Well, our cells work the exact same way. They're constantly pumping stuff in and out to maintain a gradient. That gradient creates a current that our body essentially transmits down the cell. We do that in a lot of different ways, but that gradient is the voltage. It quite literally is. Another way of thinking about this, we think of cellular pH. So pH is one ion. It's a hydrogen ion of many, many ions. So we know like all these things are so, so tightly regulated by the body. Our pH naturally ranges from about like 7.3 to 7.45. And if you get outside of that range, we can get really, really sick really fast. And again, that's one ion of all the ions that our body is managing. So you can measure that, and most healthy cells, you know, they're gonna fall in a range. Technically, it's like negative millivolts because the inside of the cell is pumping out positive charges. So it's relatively negative. So these are all in negative numbers. When I say 10 or, you know, 70, it's actually negative millivolts. But for the simplicity of this podcast, think of it as a giant thermometer, okay? And at zero, when you have zero millivolts, nothing is moving. No communication is happening, and life cannot exist. When a cell is healthy, we'll use like a muscle cell or a nerve cell, because that's the classic example. They tend to hang out around 70 or negative 70 millivolts. So if you kind of think of it in this thermometer, that's healthy. That's a healthy barometer. Some of them actually go up to like 110. And some cells like are even okay, really, really low. But for the most part, when you're in that like 50-100 range, you're in the safe-ish area. If you drop below 50, things start to happen where the cell just doesn't have enough energy, enough electrons to start to maintain homeostasis. And you can look at sick cell lines, like when we start to get susceptible to things like Lyme, people are like, well, what's with Lyme? Like, why is it so prominent now? Well, it's been prominent for a really long time. Like, these things are everywhere. But as a species, we're inside 92% of the time. This is what you were alluding to, right? So we're not getting some of these other forms of nutrition. We're relying on like just food for our nutrition. Well, as a species, that declines our voltage. So we become more susceptible to things that are just like sitting here. So let's just use Lyme. Let's say like if you're at 50 millivolts, you're not susceptible to it. But when you drop to 40, all of a sudden you become susceptible. So this thing that's been like hanging out latent in the body, just waiting for the right opportunity, boom, wakes up. Mold's the same case, right? You cannot escape mold. It's everywhere. Some places it's way worse than others. But our body's pretty good at suppressing it when we have the right energy, the right operating system, and the right biochemicals to make that happen. It's when we get out of alignment, when we lose one of those three things, and they don't exist in isolation, that's when we start to get sick. So you can very, very simply summarize this by saying healthy cells have high voltage and a low frequency, meaning they're stored batteries and they don't talk a lot because they're happy and they're in equilibrium. And then cells, when they start to get sick, or tissues, when they start to get sick, will drop their voltage and the frequency starts to go up, and it becomes, this is the electromagnetic frequency, it starts to become irregular and erratic, and you go all the way down to like cancer, where it's completely lopsided. Those cells have a very low voltage and a high, irregular, crazy frequency. And you can measure this stuff. Like, there's whole companies that are looking into this as ways to measure like cancer in vivo and start to probe tissue as it's being excised. That makes sense?
Yes. No, you did an incredible job at explaining it. And I'm glad we're just making it really clear to people, because I really want people to understand the potential benefit and where things could be going wrong. And again, it makes so much sense, because now we literally go from like one box, which is our car, to another box, which is our office or wherever you're working. It's just all boxes. Like, we move from box to box to box throughout the day, and we don't find ourselves often in nature or connected to the things that we evolved on. So this is essentially a way to bring that component inside and, you know, make it better. So thank you very much for that explanation. So now I want to talk a little bit about how you guys have applied this to your device. And I want to talk a little bit about my first experience with the Catalyst. So there's a few different devices that Dr. Stitch is going to be rolling out. And again, we will have, I think, the second one in the world, right? So you had one that came this weekend. Our clinic will have the second one, which is extremely exciting, but I'll talk about my first experience. So this was probably, was this about 6 months ago? More?
Yeah.
Time just is hard to identify sometimes, but I had recently, it was during winter, somewhere around winter or shortly thereafter, because I had recently slipped and I bumped my head on the ice, and I knew I had a really slight concussion just because I know the symptoms, of course. We'll make it a long story short. I knew exactly what to do, so I wasn't really concerned that much about it. But you brought the Catalyst, which is a ball of energy, essentially. Maybe you can chime in and talk about what you hold this ball, and it's emitting all of this electricity kind of inside of it. And then you call that charging, your charging, solo charging. What's going on in that globe?
Yeah. So inside the globe, it's a vacuum tube. It's filled with noble gas. So you're igniting that gas kind of like a fluorescent light bulb or a neon light bulb. It's a blend of different gases that produce a frequency that's like similar to our own red blood cells. Turn that on, and then it's bathing you in that field.
And this is, I mean, I see a lot of really cool stuff because, of course, being in this industry, et cetera, but this is one of the coolest ones. It's also a beautiful device. So you're holding this ball, receiving this energy, and then you usually charge for a little bit. And when I say charging, I mean holding it and receiving the fields by yourself for, I think, like 10 or so minutes. If you're doing a solo session, you can do it for like 30 minutes up to 60 minutes per day. So that's super cool because you have your feet on like a conductive pad. Is that how you would describe it?
Yep.
And then you're holding the ball. So I started by doing that, but then it gets ultra interesting when you bring a practitioner into the mix in terms of actually directing this energy. So I'm just going to paint the scene. You sat down next to me. Mm-hmm. I had my hands on the ball and my feet on the ball charging, solo charging. And then you sat down next to me, and then you put your feet on the pad where I had my feet, and the energy was moving through you, and you could actually be like the conduit to transfer that energy to me. So you can essentially, the practitioner, you were running your hand across. Ben Greenfield actually had a good description. He said it was like an electric massage, but not so massage-ish. It's just like moving across. And on your end, you feel a difference, right? When tissue is not acting the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, you do. So essentially the way that you think about that is, either way, solo or together, we're completing a circuit. Solo is like just charging your own battery. And then hands-on is where together we kind of link up, and then you hold the globe and I put my feet on the plate, and we're just directing it to certain spots. So yes, your question was, do I feel a difference? Definitely. It's instantaneous biofeedback, and it comes in the form of vibration.
Okay. So as the practitioner, and in this case, it was Dr. Stitch, we moved along, things seemed to be okay. But then when we actually got to my head, and I'm sure you remember this, like you were moving across my forehead, and then on the side that I actually hit my head, you asked if something had happened there, and I felt the difference. So if I can explain it the best way I can explain it, the waves were very smooth inside my brain. This sounds a little bit wild, but it went from being really smooth to being really choppy. Like when you got to that area, you could actually feel that something had occurred. And on my end, it felt a little bit sharp, sharper than it was before and a little bit choppy. So you identified that something had happened there. And I thought it was really mind blowing because you actually stayed in that spot until you felt it smooth out. And the really cool thing is I have, of course, a lot of images. I've done tons of imaging in my life. So I had images pre this little, wipe out and then post. And I can't say if it was just that because I've done a lot of things, but what I do know is whatever the protocol that I put into place, and I definitely think that this was a huge factor, there was no signs of really concussion at all based on my imaging. So it was absolutely amazing. I think it's one of the probably the coolest things I've ever seen. And how is it? So talk about when you're going over an area that you feel is injured or damaged in some way, and you stay in that area, what's happening there? How is it improving that area?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it definitely wasn't just that technology. You do so many things that are good for you because it's a, it's a conglomerate. But to get to the question of like what you're feeling, you described it really well. It's smooth in the areas that don't necessarily need a lot of electricity. And the reason is because there's, in those places, there's low resistance and there is efficient flow of energy / information. When we were little, like you get the hose and I would go like squirt my brothers with the hose and I would look back and then they're like, kink it up. And they're like, haha, you can't squirt me because I just kinked the hose up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the guy holding the hose and you're kink it up, what you're doing is when you squeeze that hose and water is going through it, you all of a sudden increase the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And the little bit of water that goes through has a really, really turbid kind of current, right? It's kind of like going through rapids. That's why you feel it so well. We all can relate to this because we've all had this experience, right? And then you open that hose up, you relieve the resistance. And initially there's a lot of turbulence, but then it smooths out, right? The exact same thing is happening, but with, again, electrons or electron waves or electron fields, however we choose to describe that, they're the same premise is the information and energy is being shifted. So what you feel is when you get to those spots, like in that case, it was the concussion spot, there was a lot of resistance and the electrons were not flowing efficiently. To me, I feel like it's a little bit sharp. Occasionally it will arc a little bit. So you get these little sparks. You can feel they're not painful, but you can feel them. And that clues me in as the practitioner and you in as the patient that, hey, something needs attention in that space. There's a place where the energy gap is larger than it was in most of the other healthy tissue. And you use that biofeedback to then focus on the area. That's the kind of cool thing. So the protocol, if we have, hate protocols, but if we have such a thing, is somebody sits with it, they kind of charge, they restore their own cellular battery, and then we teach practitioners like, massage therapists and stuff to kind of go around and just feel for that. You don't need to know the deep science. You don't need to know all the biochemistry and the quantum physics. You feel it. And it's undeniable. You can't like not feel it because it's part of you. And you're like, yeah, gosh, that place is pretty intense. So when I went, I went to visit a friend and I had just raging sinusitis because there was pollen everywhere. And he was showing me a little bit about how this stuff works. And he's like, let me show you on the forehead. And it lit up like fire. But man, like my sinuses felt great after 10 minutes.
Super cool. And so in June or July, you guys will be making this a little bit more widely available. Are you accepting, you're accepting pre-orders now for the Catalyst and the Immortal, right? Okay. So
Your
vision for this is people can have a Catalyst, and I'll include links to what we're talking about, the different devices, but you could have that essentially in your home and self-charge or have it in a clinic similar to ours where people are self-charging or practitioner guided charging. And you've said before, your kind of goal is to put yourself out of business as a doctor, but we know that'll never happen in terms of there's always something going on and you're just finding cooler things.
My dream.
But that's the idea, right? So they'll be able to have this device in their home, just like having a PEMF mat or some other sort of biohacking device.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is you give sovereignty back. Like we talked at the beginning, healing is an inherent right and ability. You have to have the right ingredients. So like, there's not a shortcut. And part of that is the right energies and the right exposures. So yes, like recharging at home is super important. And then adding like a good lifestyle and a good diet to that, you have the right ingredients to then provide the energy to make the reactions, and then boom, healing happens. So the idea is that people are doing this stuff and not coming in to see me. And again, like I, for one, you're right. Like there's just so much disconnection out there that disease is unfortunately probably not going to go away anytime soon.
Right. And plus we're doing things that are not necessarily always disease specific, like the executive health program that we have at Live, where people can actually not only get a bunch of imaging, but incredible biomarkers, protocols, things of that nature. So don't worry. I'm sure that we'll all keep you busy, Dr. Stitch.
Yeah. I mean, and we're exposed to tons of things that we're not even perceptive of, like, you know, subtle changes in the field. And I mean, when you travel, like, we all feel it when we travel, when we drive or fly by air, you kind of drag when you get there. You know, my partner was like, yeah, you know, the reason for that is because you increase your respiratory losses and you dehydrate on the plane. And it's equivalent to like 800 milliliters per hour. I think that's what it was, but it's a ton. Like, so there's all sorts of losses and stuff that happens that are beyond our perception because it's on like the, it's on the physics level where we don't necessarily feel that. There's always going to be stuff like that. The core is, it's fine. Like when that stuff happens, you still have to recharge your battery, and that's all you have to do. And your body is inherently smart and will heal.
Yeah. And I would imagine too, and maybe I'm wrong, but the overall lifestyle of like current, you know, Americans specifically, but across the world, like, we're eating this bad food. We're sleeping horribly. We're having this massive amount of EMF all the time and Bluetooth headphones, all of this stuff. I have to imagine that these are all like little micro hits that are depleting our energy, right? So we live in a world that literally does nothing other than deplete our energy.
Yeah. And yeah, you describe it very well, very accurately.
So yeah, I think it's really like a very holistic approach. And I love that about you too, is that it's not just this one thing that's going to be the absolute only thing you need to do, but it's everything that you need to do to have a healthy lifestyle. It's sleep. It's really high quality nutrition. It's light therapy. It's this technology. It's everything combined. And it's really sad, actually. It's like a full-time job to be healthy. It truly is. And, you know, you have to have quite a bit of resources. You know, in the future, I think together we all intend on lightening that burden a little bit and making it more accessible. But currently it's really difficult to be healthy. So it's all the things. And I'm glad that this is another piece of that puzzle. Okay. So we talked about the catalyst and we'll include a link to that. When it comes to the Amortal, so this is an amazing device. What is it? Why did you guys decide upon these? There's five different modalities or therapies inside of this one chamber, as you call it. It looks like a bed. I shared it on my story. Looks like a super futuristic bed that you might like transport into a different realm or something. But why did you decide on these exact therapies? And what's the outcome, the expected outcome with this device?
Yeah. When we had it at your place, at your shop, we had it, you know, parked up front in that giant kind of futuristic trailer,
which was much bigger, by the way, than I had anticipated. We had an event over the weekend, and yes, I thought an Airstream was much smaller, but it was actually really big, and we had to figure out how to fit it in. But yes,
and our intern Jacob is like running the show, and people would be walking by on the sidewalk, and you see all the red lights and stuff going on. And they were like, what's in there? And every time without fail, he was like, time travel.
Oh my gosh. They probably believed it. I mean, who knows these days? But yeah, I mean, I could totally see that. All the lights and the sounds. It looks like there was like a space shuttle in there ready to take off.
Yeah. time travel is not one of the modalities, unfortunately.
Okay.
It'd be really cool if it was. So the Immortal Chamber, there's three product lines. One's like in development, two are available for sale. So the one you're talking about is the Immortal Chamber, and it's like this zero gravity bed. You lay down in it, and it's like, I like to think of it like the Lamborghini of our technologies, right? It's stacked, everything's in one place. It's super convenient. So we took a bunch of stuff that we know works, like red light, near infrared, vibroacoustic therapy, guided meditation, and molecular hydrogen for the antioxidant effect. And you kind of put those things together, and you know that with some of them, there's synergies. Like if you have red light therapy, plus you add if you add the molecular hydrogen, then you increase the permeability and you will absorb more of that hydrogen. So you amplify the antioxidant effect. Makes sense? So we added to that then this composite multiform PEF, what we just talked about with the catalyst. We took the resonator, we took the guts, and we stick that inside of it, and we put these coils in the bed, so you're just sitting there. So instead of having to hold a globe, you're just kind of bathed in that field. So if you kind of imagine this, you're sitting there in a zero gravity bed, and instead of having to do like, you know, four or five different things like you and I would typically do, go to our red light, we go do our meditation, and we might do like an NOV or whatever and get the molecular hydrogen, and they're all separate and that takes a lot of time. You're getting this stuff all at once. And that's the idea. And there's sessions that are geared towards certain things because there's different ranges of frequencies and there's different sounds and different guided meditations. You select, hey, I want to restore. I want to pump myself up for a game. I want to do X or Y. And then you sit down in this thing and you just kind of bathe in those different frequencies, sounds, lights that will mimic forest bathing or meditation in the woods. Now, my goal, like, I want, go out and do this for free. Like, if you have the time and space, you don't need a machine to do it. However, like, to your point, we are a very disconnected culture right now. Like, perhaps there's been no other time in history, save maybe like the Industrial Revolution, where people were this detached from nature. Like, we don't think of ourselves as part of the animal kingdom anymore, which is kind of crazy. And we need to close that gap as a species. So we think these technologies that are complementary, again, harmonious, analog to analog, speak the same language as ourselves, will help to close that gap. But you still got to go out. You still have to like be human again.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. But in terms of efficiency, how long do you think that you would have to be grounding in the sun to get the same benefits as the chamber?
That's a really good question. So roughly we think 4 hours, and this is based on different estimates. That's about what we would consider an adequate time frame. It also matters like what condition you're in and where that place is. Like if you're at a tranquil waterfall in the lush green woods, you're getting lots of different frequencies and fields and stuff. That's going to be a lot faster. That's going to be maybe 1 hour. But you know, you go out into a park and you're sitting there in the middle of a grass field. Yeah, it's probably going to be a couple hours to get the same effect.
And most people, I mean, are probably not doing that. I mean, just
I don't know many people who are.
Yeah, because we have like work and other things, and people have a lot of Netflix to watch. So, you know, you can't interfere with that.
There's a lot of good shows on Netflix.
I mean, right. I mean, of course, why not use all of your time to watch Netflix, guys? Just kidding. Please don't use your time to watch Netflix. Just go outside, ground, come to live, use our new Immortal Chamber. They also have one in Lexington, Kentucky, where Dr. Stitch is based. Okay, amazing. In my experience, I have done this, of course. It was incredible. I mean, it was almost like otherworldly. I love that you're bringing intention into practices as well, because, you know, I have an extremely extensive routine. If I sat down and I listed out everything that I do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis for biohacking, but all of that to be said, there's still a really important component about mindset in what you think about yourself and your interpersonal relationships and your intentions for yourself and your life. And I'm sure that there's a lot of scientific literature on just that aspect alone, right, Doctor?
Oh man, like you look at the literature behind things like transcendental meditation. You know, my partner Gwen and I, we just pontificate on this stuff a lot. And she was like, hey, here's some literature. She's really good at that. It's astounding, like the epigenetic transformations that can happen from just thinking, just using your intention. It's crazy. So people who are good at this, they regulate like blood pressure and temperature of their body. Things that we, at least I was taught, are not controlled by the mind, but clearly are controlled by the mind when the mind is well trained. And that's the intention. So yes, to your point, I think it's very easy as a science nerd and a biohacker to like chase after this squirrel and this squirrel and this squirrel. Sometimes that, even for me, like it becomes a giant distraction. And what I really need more than anything else is to go sit in my backyard in the woods and just be quiet for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
There's great literature about this. That's the crazy thing. It's free, totally free.
Yeah, no, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And actually, I would love to talk briefly. It would have been amazing to have Gwen on the show, but if you're comfortable with it, you know, can you share a little bit about her experience? And you guys were initially doing the Catalyst, right? Before the Amortal was born, but talk a little bit about Gwen and kind of her experience with that. Are you comfortable with that?
I am. I can probably pull her. I mean, we're in the office right now, but
yeah, go grab her if she's around.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm so happy that you could join us. So Dr. Stitch and I were just talking, of course, going really into detail about the technology, and you have an amazing story in terms of your experience with it. And you're just an amazing woman in general, like extremely strong and, you know, very health oriented. Can you tell us a little bit about your backstory and kind of your experience with the technology?
Sure. So in 2013, I was diagnosed with two different types of cancer. At the time I was 29 years old. I was super healthy, like fit, active, exercised, ate well. But I had a lot of other areas of my life that were out of balance, that I wasn't really aware of, or just kind of had dismissed that like, those don't impact my health. Like I can just override all of those. So I received these diagnoses, and to say it upended my life would be like an understatement. It was a real wake up call for me of obviously what I had been doing or how I had been living my life was not working. I went through traditional treatment. So I had a surgery to remove my thyroid. I had a surgery to remove my thyroid that ended up damaging my parathyroid glands, which are what are responsible for regulating calcium homeostasis in your blood. So they basically release this hormone that tells your body to chew up bone to liberate calcium into your bloodstream. So I had no idea what calcium did in the body until I didn't have functioning parathyroids, but they regulate everything from your cardiac rhythm to the strength of your muscle contractions to, I mean, like literally everything. Your ability to breathe is impacted by calcium being in your blood. So I had been placed on lifelong calcium supplementation because my parathyroids were not functioning. So basically intaking a ton of calcium to try to get my blood calcium level to normal because my body wasn't able to regulate itself. I also did chemotherapy and radiation for the Hodgkin's lymphoma that I had been diagnosed with, which led me down this road of having prolonged white blood cell suppression. So my immune system was basically kind of knocked the snot out of it. So I was successfully put in remission and thankfully was declared cancer-free after my treatment, but was left with this host of side effects that were pretty debilitating. I mean, to be like under 30 and be told I have to like live in a bubble because I have no immune system and take 8 to 10,000 milligrams of calcium a day, which does terrible things to your gut health. It really had like affected my quality of life. I, as a result of my diagnosis, had changed careers. So I had been in business and running a small business. in the equine industry. And I realized when I got sick and I experienced being a patient that my purpose in life was to help other people heal. So I went on this long winding journey of A, first healing myself, and then wanting to pass forward that information to other people who are in similar positions or struggling with health issues. So I went through genetics, I went through exploration of mind-body connection, like what are all of the components of health that affect our well-being. And I connected with Jeremy during a fellowship that I was in for genomics, genetic medicine. And he was like, you know, I'm doing some stuff in bioenergetics and I feel like it could be really helpful for you in recovering from some of the side effects that you have from your cancer treatment. So I was like, okay, like show me the evidence. Do we have like peer reviewed double blinded studies? And he was like, yeah, just come on Tuesday. Try it out. So I was like, this is not really like, I'm a very science or was a very science heavy person. So we go in and I have a hands-on session with the catalyst. So I was charging my body solo for about 30 minutes before. And then the hands-on portion is, I don't know if Jeremy talked through this, where the energy is directed specifically through the practitioner's hands into areas of the body. So for me, my bulk of my lymphoma was through like my neck and chest, with like a very large mass right above my left collarbone. When he was working over that area, it was intense. A lot of like arcing, it was uncomfortable, to be frank. And I felt my body shifting and releasing things that I can't even really fully articulate in spoken word, but I had a knowledge that what was happening was way beyond what I comprehended with regards to medicine. So following that treatment, I had like one other solo charge session on the catalyst, and I start feeling my body just feels different. My hands feel different. My small muscle movements start feeling different. And I'm like, I'm gonna start dropping down my calcium. Like I'm not having any signs of tetany, like no muscle cramps or spasms, which would indicate that my calcium level was low, which historically I had never had a normal calcium level from the time I had my thyroidectomy in 2013 until 2022 when I had my first treatment. So I start dropping my calcium and I get down to 250 milligrams of calcium. I had been taking 10,000 milligrams a day. And I stay at that dose, completely asymptomatic, for 6 weeks, called my endocrinologist and I was like, hey, can I come have labs drawn? Because something feels different. He's like, yeah, come on in. He's like, it's been low for the past 9 years. Think it'll still be low. I have my labs drawn and my ionized calcium is smack dab in the middle of normal. And I think for me, like I felt my body change. Like I had felt that there was this shift, but there was still that lingering piece of me that needed evidence that it had actually shifted. And when I sat there looking at my lab values, it hit me that the way our body works is so much more complex and yet beautifully simple than we appreciate in allopathic medicine. My white count also, as a side note, on those labs, completely normal. And that for me transformed how I was practicing. I then went from genetic medicine to bioenergetics, and really have been driven into understanding how that foundational element of our body's system works. How do bioenergetics work within the body? How is that the driver of all of these downstream effects of health versus disease? And coming to realize that they really drive a lot of epigenetic expression as well. And we look at differences of how somebody can have the same SNPs as this other individual. They can be following very similar diet, lifestyle interventions, and yet the outcome of one person is vastly different than the outcome of the person with the same exact set of SNPs. Yeah. Anyways, that's my long-winded story.
Well, I'm so happy that we grabbed you really quick because you have an amazing story. And I'm, first of all, so happy that, you know, you're in the clear now and you're feeling great. And it was so nice to have you here just recently. So what's your protocol on the Catalyst, Immortal? What's your protocol these days?
You mean for my own treatment?
For your own treatment, yeah.
So I'm really aware of energetic shifts within my body. So as I've kind of, as I dove into understanding the body's energetic system, I became much more aware of realizing like when I'm depleted or when I am not in balance. And there are a whole bunch of different things that I do to maintain balance, from mindfulness and meditation to grounding, to charging on the Catalyst or utilizing the chamber to charge as well. I wouldn't say I follow a protocol. I follow my intuition. So I can tell if I'm zapped. I can tell if I'm drained. I can tell if I need recharge time. And then pulling in all of those tools to do that. I'm really careful about practicing with patients that I am in balance when I'm doing any sort of hands-on work. Because if you think of the practitioner kind of as the conduit through which that energy is flowing, it's not that it would potentially cause any harm to the people I'm working on, but if I'm drawing energy off that system because I'm depleted, they're not getting the maximum benefit that they can get from their sessions.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And thank you for doing a guided session on me just a few days ago. And I'm so excited to learn how to do that as well. I mean, it's just, it's game changing, truly. So thank you, Gwen. It was amazing to see you. And thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thanks, Kayla.
Absolutely.
I will go and rope Jeremy back
in. Thank you. Bye. Thank you so much for bringing Gwen on and letting her share her story, because I think it's really important that people can just explain their experience, and her story is absolutely amazing. And it's not the only one that you have on this journey of yours, because there's been quite a few more that I'm aware of, and I'm sure many more that I'm not aware of. So this technology is clearly incredibly useful. And it's really an exciting time. I had a quick question though. So I was just thinking about it. So before you charge, does it make sense to take like a lot of minerals, like maybe like trace minerals or like a beverage of some sort to be a bit better of a conductor?
Yeah, totally. Like, this is a brilliant question. This is one of the brainstorms a friend of mine had. And interestingly enough, like we talked about ancestral wisdom and ancient practices, like the ancient cultures used to do this all the time, and they would supplement like little tiny amounts of even like gold and silver, because those are excellent conductors, and copper. And they would actually do that very thing. They would go and like go into these chambers or go into the sun and sunbathe. So one of my buddies created like a really, really interesting one with trace minerals and a little bit more like nano silver and nano gold than would typically be in a trace mineral supplement. And man alive, you feel freaking great afterwards. Like it almost like amplifies my ability to meditate by like 20%. It was crazy. And when he handed me this little rock crystal with shiny stuff in, I'm like, I'm up for new things, but I don't know, man. He's like, no, just try it. It's a gummy. I make a tea too. So yeah, you're right. Like, it does. And I do routinely, I don't do that every day, but I do trace minerals every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should start, when we roll out this technology here at the clinic, I think we should start giving a big glass of like reverse osmosis filtered water with a bunch of minerals in it. And then the other thing, you know, we're really going to be getting into a lot of mineral and amino IVs. So there's some, you know, combinations that you could theoretically even do an IV prior. And I'm sure that it would even enhance the treatment.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And we're doing beyond that, because we're going into some of the bioenergetic treatments, planning to put them in the IVs. We've got some really cool ideas that you and I have discussed around those very things, which are you know, just faster ways to restore. The other component there I want to touch on is the exact mechanism, the exact technologies, the exact behaviors and practices are different for everybody. So there's not like a one size fits all plan. The one thing that you pointed out here that pretty much does apply to everybody is remineralization. So in our executive plan, like, we build this in as part of the core health. Like, we absolutely have to remineralize people, because our food stores just are not as dense as they used to. So if there's like one public service announcement to walk away from here. It's like, eat real food and remineralize yourself, because our bodies are totally depleted and will be better than conduits for electricity and energy.
What is maybe like dosage or recommended? Like, do you like trace minerals? Is that your favorite? Are there better? I know, you know, my partner, Bobby, he loves those Quinton little vials, but what are some of your favorite ways? And like, how many minerals do we need? I know, of course, it's going to be bio-individual, because if you have like a, you know, food source that you grow in organic biodynamic soil, you're getting a lot more minerals than someone that is eating conventional food. But for someone that's like relatively healthy and does their best to eat really nutritious food, do you recommend adding minerals into every glass of water? What's the frequency, you think?
Yeah, no, I think once or twice a day is adequate. You know, I have a few favorite brands. You named a couple of them. I like Trace Minerals. I like the other one is like Essential something, Life Essential, Life Extensions. You know, those are like some good brands that I like. I don't want to be too specific on this because there's a lot of other good brands out there. There's a guy out of, he was out of like Vancouver, who makes a really cool one as well. I'll send you the link for that. But there's a lot of good stuff out there. Once a day is probably adequate, twice a day on the high end, depending on how demineralized somebody is.
Can you overdo it? Because I think I might be overdoing it. Because yeah, I drink like totally 10 of these per day, probably. And then I do extra minerals. So, okay. Well, hopefully yeah,
your body is designed to eliminate extra. The good news is like, it's pretty darn good at that when we have the right other ingredients. So I think you would be safe, but like if you were, we see this a lot, like, you know, somebody's like, copper is everything. Like they take like a ton of copper. Well, they get toxic. That's not actually science. That's part of science taken out of the whole holistic viewpoint of health. So yeah, don't overdo it and don't do one or the other. It's a blend.
Yeah. And what about Shilajit? That might be a good idea too.
I definitely love that. You know, an interesting thing with one of my daughters, she was going through one of her things. She had this like lytic bone lesion we actually thought was cancer. And you know, that was one of the many things that we did for her. It was remineralized through that. And it was one of the few that she liked. It helped her gut and helped her heal from that. Turned that not to be cancer. It was like a chronic osteomyelitis that went away with, you know, better food and a better environment.
Amazing. Well, I'm really happy that that's the way it turned out. Okay. Last kind of viewpoint, and we're going to go a little bit off, but I do want, since we brought it up, let's talk about this concept about IVs and infoceuticals, because this is yet another, I guess, section of bioenergetics. Can we talk about that a little bit yet?
You actually, with those minerals, plus the right information, you can actually store information in the field, and the research is freaking crazy, from exosomal patterning in these cells where they you can trigger them to release their own exosomes, or mitochondrial proliferation through just the transfer of data and information. So you're not getting side effects of anything else. You're just remineralizing and giving information, but then these cells will grow like 50% more mitochondria. It's really cool stuff, but we'll dive into that, the deep science of it. And then like really practically, it's just putting some drops on your throat. It's pretty sweet.
I love it. Well, is there anything else that you want to mention about bioenergetics, the A-Mortal? We're going to include the link to pre-ordering, a link to our, you know, all the websites and things of that nature. But is there anything else that we missed?
I think that's pretty much it. For people who, like, not everybody's going to dive in and want to buy a new device, they can always come and check us out, check you guys out, because we're teaching your staff how to do that and our staff how to do that. So there's a big collective here. Again, this is going to take an army to help us heal as a species. So the more the merrier, but please come in, check it out. We'll send the link to that website as well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Dr. Stitch.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kayla. It's been awesome. Always good to see you.
Absolutely. Hacking was created and is hosted by Kayla Barnes. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and views expressed on this podcast are not medical advice. This podcast, including Kayla Barnes, does not accept responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of the information contained herein. Opinions of their guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. If you think you have a medical issue, consult a licensed physician.